Good morning again.
Good morning.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Not just this day, but the first Easter Sunday where you conquered death. Father, thank you for changing the world for us. Thank you for changing our lives through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the Holy Spirit would descend upon all of us to hear your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would descend upon me so that my words would be yours and that your words would be mine. To your glory, Father, not to my own, for the benefit of all who hear this. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning. I love this day. This is my favorite holiday by far. Easter Sunday. If it was not for the very first Sunday, that very first Easter Sunday where Christ rose again from the dead, our lives would be in vain. Everything would be in vain. And so this has been, in my own life, this day has just become such a great day of joy for me personally. And for many of you, you feel that same way. Today, on my way here, even though my son and daughter and wife are from Tucson, there's a couple songs that I have on my iPad, children's songs, that I would worship with Jeremy every morning. And of course, I listened to the Easter ones, even though he wasn't there. And yes, I sang them at the top of my lungs. My favorite one is from this singer. She calls herself Yancy, not Nancy. And if you go to her website or her YouTube page, her goal is making Jesus loud. I like that. And so she has worship songs for churches that are more contemporary than ours, not as traditional as ours. But she also has great children's music. And I think of my son's little voice as I sing one of these songs about Easter. And part of that song, it breaks down, and you spell Jesus' name, and it goes, J-E-S-U-S. Jesus is alive. And then after that, it repeats a couple of times. He goes, 1, 2, 3, and breaks into the chorus, and it says, there's an empty grave. Death was defeated. Jesus is alive. Shout it to the skies. He's alive. He's alive. My favorite thing is hearing Jeremy's little voice sing that song. I love it. But I know, too, that for many of us, because of the way of the world, because of some of the things that we are going through personally, sometimes we can know in our minds that Jesus accomplished this, but it's hard to feel the happiness. It's hard to feel the joy. And because also that what we speak of today is so unbelievable. A man rising from the dead. God becoming man to die and then to rise. These things that we speak of, they are difficult to wrap our heads around. And in fact, the gospel text that we focus on, I am so thankful that Easter is not just one Sunday, but actually in the church calendar, it's a season. Because there's a lot to unpack here. And in the very first moments, in all the resurrection accounts, whether it's from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the disciples, the ladies who go there, and Christ's disciples, his 11, as we know, Judas at this point in time, had hung himself after betraying Jesus. They struggled to grasp what was happening. The account goes like this. And in the sense of the context, let's talk about the day that Jesus was buried. There was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He was looking for the kingdom of God, meaning that he was a chief priest, he was a Pharisee, and he was against them condemning Jesus to death. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever been yet laid. And it was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. They returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. So, remember that we are talking about Jewish people. And the way that the Jewish people counted this, this was day one, Christ was crucified on Friday. Day two, he rested on Saturday. Saturday was the seventh day of the week. It was their Sabbath day. When God created the heavens and the earth on the first day, that would have been a Sunday. I believe that when Adam was formed from the dust, it was day six, so that on day seventh, he would rest with God. Right? The day, Sunday, Christ rose again, would have been the day of the new creation on a Sunday. God created the heavens and the earth on a Sunday. The new creation begins on a Sunday, or the resurrection of Christ, who had made the old things new, begin on a Sunday again. But I don't want to get sidetracked too much with theology here. Let's tell the story. But on the first day of the week, Sunday, at early in dawn, they, the women, went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. Can you blame them for being perplexed? I try to put myself in a place where if I would have had one of my own loved ones die, and I know that they were buried, if I were to go back to their gravesite and see it dug up and see the casket gone, I would have some questions. That's very natural. I love the humanity that the Bible captures. This is God's word. I love how it captures the humanity of these people. They're perplexed. And yet, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" I always kind of, there's a part of me that was like, man, I love this statement. That's awesome. In fact, for my own gravestone, I would love to say, put on there, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And I could have totally just take this phrase and create a whole sermon from that. But the trap of that verse alone is that could be a very law-condemning statement. Don't you get it? Right? Jesus is risen. Of course he's not here. But they don't leave it there. They remind them after saying, "Why do you seek living amongst the dead? He is not here, but has risen." And they continue, Remember now he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. Now, have you ever been there where maybe, you know, maybe you're married or you have your parents, right, your mother. Think about this. Your mother told you not to do something. And you went ahead and did something. And it turned out really bad. And mother says, I told you so. You ever been there? Or maybe you were the one that told your children, I told you so. How did you feel? Or how do you feel when a friend, almost that gloating, I told you so. Man, for me it's like, I want to just turn back and say, you told me nothing. I don't want to hear it. Yes, I screwed up. Please, I don't want to say shut up in church. But, you know, that's the sentiment, right? Let's move on. Let's move forward. I don't want to dwell on this. But this reminder, I don't think is, I told you so. This reminder is grace. This is messengers of God on high. These are angels reminding these poor women who are filled with grief who our God is. They knew that Jesus called himself the Son of Man. And yes, they heard him say that the Son of Man would be betrayed at the hands of men and on the third day rise. Right? Good Friday, day one he was crucified. Day two, our Lord rested on the Sabbath in his grave. Day three, he rose again. Jesus spoke in parables. There are three accounts in the scriptures of Jesus raising someone from the dead. The widow whose son died at Nain, in a town called Nain. There was the daughter of Jairus, Jairus' daughter. And of course, most recently and most publicly, Lazarus being raised from the tomb. And yet, you know, even when we watch those TV shows where someone might raise somebody from the dead, in these fantasy TV shows that we often watch, if somebody had the power to do that, when they died, usually it's like, okay, it's done. You can't raise yourself from the dead. So Jesus spoke in parables. He did amazing things. And also remember that they are filled with grief. And grief does stuff to us. Grief affects us all. I can tell you that there wasn't ever really a time in my life where I said, Jesus isn't Lord. I've always known, at least in my mind, that and I always believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that he rose again from the dead. My actions didn't always demonstrate that. I had a hard time understanding how that truth can affect my life. And part of it was that without realizing it, I went through a great period of grief. It started in high school, when my grandfather, on my dad's side, who was my hero, he fought in World War II. He was a United States Marine. He played football before he was drafted for the University of Minnesota for the Golden Gophers. This guy was my hero. He had a hip replacement surgery and a blood clot that was missed is what took his life. Hard. My grandmother on that side passed from a stroke. That was hard, but it took a while after the stroke for her to pass. And so it was almost, while it was still tragic, there was a relief. But what also happened too is I had a couple friends. I had a friend from high school die in a car accident. My grandfather then, on my mother's side, died because he fell off of a stool changing a light bulb in the kitchen. I felt really robbed at that point in time. And I had a hard time crying at that point in time. I had so much grief that I couldn't even cry at that point in time. And it still kind of continued into college too. My high school quarterback, who would call me by the nickname Lucky, because my last name is Luckemeyer. And I love that, because guess what? My grandpa Luckemeyer was called Lucky. As a teacher, he let his students call him Lucky. In the Marines, he was called Lucky. All my dad's friends called him Lucky. So my quarterback, and all my friends on the football team, when they called me Lucky, and for whatever reason, Pat Flynn, my quarterback, always told me when we were on the bus going to a game, he said, Lucky, you sit next to me. He commits suicide when we were in college. Took his life. To this day, I still see him as my quarterback. Maybe that's silly, but 4 years on the same high school football team, that guy's my quarterback. And then after that, one of my best friends fell asleep on the road driving home from Thanksgiving, crashed his car and killed himself. I was filled with grief. It was hard to have joy in God. It was hard to understand the meaning of what that first Easter Sunday meant because of the pain and the grief that this world brings to us. Now, I'm telling this story, and there's sighs, and there's grief because while my story isn't your story, you can relate because a lot of the same things have happened to you. Because the world is hard, and it hits us in the face, and we grieve. Bad things can happen to us, and sometimes we don't understand why, and it hurts. And that's real. And so when we see these ladies and we're wondering, yeah, ladies, how come you didn't get when Jesus said that he would be betrayed and die on the third day rise? How come you didn't get that? First of all, at that point in time, they're grieving, and it's hard to believe that people rose again from the dead. In our account today, we don't even get to the point where anybody sees Jesus yet. They just heard this wonderful promise. Now, we know that Mary Magdalene was there. And we know that even after the angels proclaimed this to her, that she still was struggling and grieving, because we know from the gospel according to John, she stayed behind a little bit, and she saw a man who she thought was the gardener. Notice how the tomb was in a garden. The old Adam was made out of the dirt and put into the Garden of Eden. The new Adam, Jesus, arose in a garden. She mistook him for the gardener. It is hard to wrap our heads around this sometimes. And yet, the ladies go forth and they tell the disciples. Now, I've heard some pastors say that, of course, the disciples wouldn't believe the women. You know, they were sexist. I don't think that's the case. I think it's hard to believe that somebody rises from the dead because you don't see it happen very often. In fact, I've never seen it before in my life. But blessed are those who believe and have not seen. I guess we'll get to that next week. We'll talk about Thomas next week. Okay? They go forth. the disciples are struggling here. And it talks about Peter too, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what happened. When we think of Peter during this week, when we think of Peter during this account, what is going on in Peter's mind right now? What do you suppose Peter is really struggling with? Guilt, right? I tell you, Simon Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Sometimes, this good news that Jesus dying on the cross and saying it is finished, this good news that he has washed away all the sin that we have committed, the fact that he was the perfect sacrifice and he made you righteous, our guilt doesn't want us to believe that at some point in time. There's that devil too, who accuses us and says, oh yeah, do you remember that thing that you did? God can never forgive that. There is not a sin that you can commit in this whole wide world that Christ's blood cannot cover. The only sin that his blood will not uncover is unbelief. But Pastor, you're telling me how hard it is to believe this. Here is the good news. Those angels still showed up, even though the women were struggling. And we know that later on, Jesus is going to appear to the disciples. And he's going to show them that, yes, I am real. I conquered the grave. He's going to let them touch him and feel him and say, I'm not just a ghost. This is real. I'm here. He's going to eat a piece of fish and show them that, yes, I'm still your God, and I'm still 100% man. And just as you rose, I'm going to rise again too. And the amazing thing is that these disciples who struggled with understanding this, these disciples who ran away when Christ was arrested, they believed after they saw. Where historians point, where any honest historian will say that there is evidence that the disciples believe that they saw Jesus rise again from the dead. The evidence is this. In these historical accounts of that week, Christ's disciples ran away in fear. But later on in their lives, they were willing to die for this truth. What changes someone's mind to run away? They think they'll stand with their leader, but when their leader is about to die, they run away. What changed to make them willing to die for this truth? They saw Jesus. They saw him. And even though they were struggling with their doubts, with their grief, and with their guilt, God was still faithful to reveal this truth to them, and he did not abandon them. So we can rejoice that not only do we have the assurance of salvation, the assurance of forgiveness, the assurance that once we die, we are going to live again. Not only do we have that, we have this gospel assurance that we have a God who is faithful to us and to forgive us and to help us in our unbelief. Just as the man who saw his son possessed with a demon said to Jesus, if you can help me, Jesus, please help. And Jesus says, if I can, all things are possible for those who believe. And the man cried out, I believe. Help my unbelief. And Jesus did. Because he loves you. He who was willing to humble himself. He who created was there when we were created. He who was there who created Adam was willing to take on the flesh of man and suffer for us and die. He is the suffering servant from Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions, and by those wounds we are healed. And it didn't stop there. The story continued. Just as we are baptized into a death of Jesus, we too are going to rise like Jesus rose. Life is hard. It can beat you up. But eventually, that 1-2 punch of Jesus dying on the cross and rising again from the dead is going to conquer all that. And he is going to continue to help you believe by sending you his Holy Spirit, by leading you to come back and hear God's word proclaimed into your hearts and minds. Jesus is victorious, and he has shared that with you. And it is true. And so maybe you're not going to say this with as much joy as others today, but that joy will come. And that statement that we're going to say is this: Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed.
Hallelujah.
He has. It has been done, and he's done it for you. And we have victory in him. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life.